I'm Sid Roth, and I have a guest that has had such an encounter with the living God that literally when he speaks, waves of God's presence just come on the congregation. And when God's presence comes upon you, as I believe it's going to come upon you as you're watching, the body just doesn't know how to react. Let's take a look at what happens.
And so Jesus stands up and he says in a loud voice, somebody say loud voice.
Loud voice.
Is anybody thirsty? Rivers of living water. Then let them come to me and drink and drink and drink and drink. He didn't say come to me and think and think and think and think. Thank you, Lord. Rivers of living water. There's only one name that's able to save people from their sin.
Wow.
Whoa.
Sid Roth here with Peter Johnson.
Whoa.
And Peter, what is going on with those people? What's going on with you? I think we have to go kind of back to the beginning. You had a nice alcoholic father who manufactured a nice alcoholic son, and you went to an AA meeting, and you're not particularly a believer in Christianity, the Bible, or anything like that, and someone has a little conversation with you. What did he say to you?
He just basically said, you know, you know God, but you don't know Jesus. And you need to know Jesus in order to know God. Why don't you just ask God to show you his son?
Well, in AA, they say higher power. But this guy was taking it to the next step.
Yeah, he'd become a believer about 3 years before. And I had really seen, you know, there was a big difference in him.
So what did you do?
That night, we were up all night as he was sharing his story with me. And that night, it was about 5:30 in the morning, I got home, my wife was sleeping, and I was brushing my teeth, getting ready to go to work. And I just felt like, I can't put this off, I need to ask God if Jesus is real. And as I did that, the glory of God just came into my bathroom. And I fell on the floor, and I was...
Why'd you fall?
I was just completely overcome. The weight of his presence just it was powerful. And so I was lying on the floor, just sort of laughing with joy, but also crying in repentance. I was kind of like going back and forth. I didn't know what was happening to me. I thought, you know, am I having a nervous breakdown, or
sure,
what's going on?
I mean, when the presence of God comes on you, it's like nothing you've ever had before. You have no worldview, no point of reference.
Yeah. So I you know, I'm going sort of back and forth with repentance and joy at the same time. And about half an hour into this, I can get up again, and I go into the bedroom to wake up my wife to tell her what's happened. And I just said, honey, Jesus is in the bathroom.
That's a nice way to... So how did she react?
She thought I was, you know, back
sure
on drugs or something.
I feel you think that too right now.
But the truth was, I you know, it just didn't wear off. I was full of joy for several days after that.
But what about the addiction?
Yeah, it was broken right there.
Okay. You have this encounter with God. I mean, it was a marvelous encounter with God, but there was something missing. And you went to a cabin and you had a revelation which has profoundly changed your life.
Yeah, that was 1978 when I came to know Jesus as my Savior. But then 5 years later, I was working through a lot of bitterness towards my earthly father who I had kind of blocked out of my mind. And I started to read the Bible, and especially in John 14 through 17, where Jesus refers to the Father, especially John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And when I saw that word Father, it just jumped off the page. And I realized that I didn't see God as a father. I saw him as a savior, but I didn't see him as a father. That began to bring up a lot of hurt and bitterness that I still had from years of living with an alcoholic father who promised.
In other words, what you're saying is that he related to God as he related to his earthly father, as opposed to relating to pure love. He didn't understand. Many of you don't. You think you do, but you really don't. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Peter Jackson. And what do you think of when you think of God? A lot of people visualize God as they did their earthly father. But the problem is, no matter how good that father was, he still was very imperfect compared to God. If you're Muslim, or if you're Jewish, you have a feeling that God is up there and he's a judge. You don't have the concept of he's a loving God. But Peter, you had read this in the Bible, but still there was a misconnect. You were at this cabin, and what happened?
Yeah, I was, as I said, I was dealing with all the bitterness towards my earthly father, and that really began to soften my heart, where I came to a place of compassion for my father, that, you know, he had a father who treated him in a certain way, and I was just, it was like generationally being passed down. As I was working through that forgiveness, one morning I had this dream, and one of the greatest disappointments of my life with my earthly father was on my 12th birthday, where he'd promised to take me up to this cabin in the Rocky Mountains. And then at the last minute, as usual, canceled. Mm. And so God had come to restore my faith in him through taking me back to that, the most painful disappointment. That's where I really closed the door on relationship with my earthly father. In this vision, I see myself waking up as a 12-year-old boy. And it's just like I'm watching it as a TV program. But I see in this dream that I'm 12 years old, and I smell bacon being prepared for me, breakfast is being prepared.
It's very realistic.
Oh, it was amazing. It was like being there. You know, a God dream, you're there. And I look into the kitchen wondering who's there. And I see this person with his back to me cooking breakfast. And I just thought the thought, I wonder who that is. And when he turned around, I just saw these eyes of my Abba Father, God the Father. And it was he didn't say any words. He just communicated with this look of total love and acceptance. And it's just like I received an impartation of his love, and it just broke through that wall that I'd had up towards my earthly father. And I was able to accept him as my father.
Tell me again about the love that you saw in his eyes.
Yeah, his eyes were blue, but they were crystal clear. And they just communicated, you know, they say communication is only 7% words. it's 53% body language. Hmm. And his body language said, I love you with my whole heart. And that just completely broke me on the inside. Because my dad had always a look of disapproval.
Who is God the Father to you now?
He's my dad. He's my dad. And I have a relationship with him where I used to just see him as an angry judge up in heaven. But now he, as Jesus said, the Father and I have come to dwell in you, make our home in you. John 14:23 says, I have come, the Father and Jesus have come to make their home in us. And I've made him feel at home. I've welcomed him home, and I have a home in his heart.
Now, you became a pastor with your wife, and you, I'll tell you something, it is tough for someone to be a pastor. It'd be easy if they didn't have to deal with people. But guess what? That's the way it was all orchestrated. And Peter, you became a burned out pastor and you went to a renewal meeting, and what happened?
Yeah, I was very disappointed with the church that we had, in that we were seeking revival. We were asking God to bring his manifest presence and affect our city, affect the people around us, our families. We've been praying that way for a year, but revival always brings change. And there's such a resistance and change for people. They get in a comfort zone, they get in a rut, and they don't want to change. And so then in January of 94, when revival broke out in Toronto at the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, John Arnott, the senior pastor, called me up the night after it started and said, you've got to come to this pastor's meeting. Because he knew I was pretty disappointed and disillusioned being a pastor. Our church was growing and all the stuff was happening, but I was just getting further and further detached from it. So I went to the meeting, and I listened to the testimony of Randy Clark as he shared similar experience, being in the ministry for years, but just getting more and more dry. And so I stood there for prayer at the end, and Randy Clark comes by and prays for me, and nothing happened. And I'm just, oh boy, I must really
talk about a disappointment.
I'm just like, everybody else around me is really right. Getting impacted with the presence of God, and I'm just standing there like a oak of righteousness, you know, just stiff as a board. Well, John Arnott was right behind Randy praying for me, and he knew my situation. He just asked the Holy Spirit to lift this discouragement off, and I began again just to weep and weep for about half an hour. I was weeping and weeping with all this discouragement that I had stuffed down, because big boys don't cry, you know.
I know all about it.
Yeah. And but right behind that discouragement was the joy of the Lord. And literally, I was lying on the floor, rolling around, laughing for 3.5 hours. You cannot humanly do that.
I imagine you must have ached all over from all that laughing when it was over. Did your body ache?
I was thinking, now I know what they mean when they say I split a gut. You know, it's like I was coming unglued.
But you know what? The Bible says a merry heart is good medicine. Wait till you find out what this medicine did for Peter. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Peter Jackson. Well, Peter was a burned-out pastor, and he went to, actually, this is a second meeting. This was an historic thing at the Toronto Airport Church in Toronto, Canada. And Randy Clark prays for him, and John Arnott says, let Holy Spirit come upon him. And all of a sudden, he's overwhelmed, and he starts crying and crying. And then when he's cried himself out, he starts laughing and laughing. For 3 hours, he was laughing. He then goes back to that church that he's so burned out over, and he goes to speak, and what happened?
I couldn't speak. It's like every time I tried to do something, I'd be overwhelmed with laughter. And for about 6 months, this went on.
You mean every Sunday for 6 months, he gets up there to give his message, and all you do is laugh? Did you have a membership drive? Did you drive everyone out? What happened?
Half the people didn't appreciate that too much.
But you know what's more important is, we know in the natural, laughing is a good medicine. God knew it. Doctors have already proven that that's true. Certain types of cancer, things are released in the body when you laugh. How much more when you laugh under the Spirit of God? Yeah. But what is going on with people like Peter and other people? You told me that you took an abused young girl, a street kid, off the streets and into your home. What happened to her?
Yeah, we took her in as a foster child. She, you know, had been sexually abused and was living on the streets. And God said he was going to show us his heart for the wounded through this relationship. And initially we took her as a foster child, but he then, about a year later, told us to adopt her legally. And he brought what seemed to us as an impossible situation. This girl was so battered and bruised.
She had zero hope for our future.
She'd had three stepfathers, one natural father, all sexually, mentally, physically abused her. Mm. So her trust for fatherhood was zero. But God gave us his heart for her. And when he gives you his heart for someone, you have faith to believe that they're going to come all the way through. And for 3 years, it was like taking down a wall brick by brick, building trust with this girl that she could receive, you know, the relationship of father.
And how did it work out?
It worked out amazing. She had an encounter with God as her father, and she'd become a Christian. And 3 years into our relationship, she came to know the Father and accepted me as her earthly father without that wall.
Peter, there are a lot of people that strive, and their intent is honorable. Mm-hmm. Strive to please God by working, doing. Yeah. That was you.
That
well,
was
what
me.
Changed?
Yeah, that the vision of the Father's eyes to realize that I can't do anything to get him to love me more. That he loves me based on what Jesus did for me, not what I do for him. And that was a revelation. It was like a dropping a pebble into a pond, and then the ripple effect, you know, continues to work through your life.
But I read in the Bible, Peter, that there are rewards for what we do on earth.
Yep.
So you can't just say, well, I'll do nothing because Papa loves me.
Yep.
So where do you draw the line?
Well, you see, love has a fruit, and the fruit is obedience. And it's living your life from love, not for love. From approval, not for approval.
There is a presence of God on this set.
Mm.
It's a sweet presence of God.
Mm.
Now, you have something so wonderful, and it gets more wonderful for you when you give it away.
Yeah.
Would you first pray for people that have an orphan spirit?
Yeah.
They don't have a connection with the God of love, and then pray for them to receive what you have briefly.
Yes. I just want to tell you that there's hope, and the hope is in the Father's love, that he loves you whether you love him or not. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whether the world will respond to that or not. And I just want to tell you that if you will accept Jesus as your Savior, God the Father will show you his love as a Father. Jesus has come as the way, the truth, and the life to bring you to the Father. And he wants you to become a son, not live your life as an orphan, where you're living your life as someone who's striving for approval, striving to do something to be loved. We need to be still and know that he is God, know that he loves us. And I bless you today.
Pray for a release of God's Spirit on them right now.
Yeah. Father, I just pray right now you will pour out your Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of your Father's love into every heart that's listening to this program. That you'll be touched with that love that I received that changed me from the inside out. And that you will know that the Father loves you the same as he loves Jesus. He's adopted you as a son or a daughter. I bless you with that release of his presence right now. in Jesus' name.
Some of you are actually, this wasn't what I was looking for, but I know that some of you actually are feeling a heat going throughout your body right now. And some of you are weeping. There are tears coming out, just like Peter was weeping. That's a cleansing that is going on right now.
Yeah.
And some of you are being physically healed very quickly. Yeah. One person.
I just see someone watching right now where you're an adopted child, but there's always been that wall between you and your parents. And I just see the Holy Spirit just coming right now. He's just breaking down that wall in your life. You can receive the Father's love deep in your spirit. He loves you, and you've always been loved by Him.
The presence of God is tangible. And I'd say, by faith, in the name of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, that what you are feeling is God's love. Mm-hmm. And open your heart up. You have never been, if they could just look into God's eyes,
yeah,
the way you looked into His eyes, and whether you see Him or not, I tell you that He's right there. It's just like,
yes,
King David recognized, I have placed the Lord always at my right side. He's always there. He is always there. He has never left you. You might have left Him, but He has never left you. And He's saying, come home. It's time for you to come home. Some of you have been away so long, you don't know where home is. Well, there's a gate. And that gate is the name of Jesus. And when you enter that gate, you will come home to the most loving God. In Islam, they don't know a God of love. In Judaism, we don't understand a God of pure love. But in reality, He is love. You've never experienced love until you've experienced the reality of God. Do it now. In the gate, Jesus.